Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
In 2 Timothy 2:19, the Bible says, "Of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." Now, I see two things here, and not only in the Word, but the Word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. And so we are tracking through this life on that narrow path that leads to everlasting life. And it's the Word of God that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm chapter 119, 105. Also, Psalm 17, verse 4 is of note. It says, "Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer." Notice, it's by the word of God that we keep ourselves from the paths of the destroyer, the enemy of souls. And notice the beginning of the verse, "Concerning the works of men." Now, we live in a fallen world, and the thoughts of fallen men's hearts are only evil continually. Genesis chapter 6, also, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Now, again, our main verse, "Of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." Now, there's two ways that I can think of that we can be overcome. We can be overcome by lies. For example, we've all probably sat under false teachers, and it was only because we weren't established enough in the truth of God, and we were therefore overcome by lies, by misrepresentations of the Word of God, half-truths, false notions, false doctrines, etc. And also, most insidiously, is to be overcome by someone who is trying or attempting to bring you up under their control. Have you ever been there? And oh, they operate so subtly to get you to take the bait. On numerous occasions, people have sought to bring me into their little group, their little cult of whatever flavor or sort, not necessarily a local church, although this definitely happens in local churches. And one of the things they will say, and this is definitely the bait of Satan, they will say things like, "Listen, I need you." They'll compliment you because they're flattering you. And the Bible says, "A man that flatters you spreads a net for your feet," right? I believe that's Proverbs chapter 29, verse 5. "A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet." In other words, a trap. So we have to be aware of these things. There are Judases among us. There are people in this fallen world who want to take you under their control, and they're under the control of evil spirits, and Satan uses them to bait you to submit to them in one way or the other. And so they will flatter you, and then they'll tell you things like, "I want you to set everything aside right now, everything you believe." That right there, friends, is a red flag. I have personally heard that a dozen times or more in my Christian walk with the Lord, where Satan tries to use them to get you to lay aside, to agree that the final divine authority of your life is not the Word of God, that they want you to listen to them. They want you to drop all that you believe. But the scripture says in Romans 3:4, "God forbid," yea, in fact, in verse 3, he says, "What if some don't believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? In other words, no. Then he answers that, God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mayest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. So we're talking about the bait of Satan and how Satan tries to seduce us. That's what we read in Colossians 2. That's an incredible chapter. I believe it's chapter 2, verse 4, where he says, "In this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Notice, beguiling you with words to entice you. Isn't that interesting? And 1 John 2:26, "These things have I written unto you concerning," notice, "them that seduce you." Now he's talking about human agents of Satan. The scripture tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary," your enemy, "the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And the only way that we're going to stay clear of coming under the bondage, the lies that lead to the bondage and the shackles of sin, and first off, that would be idolatry, when we put somebody else before Jesus Christ, the first love of our lives. And so keep that in mind when you hear words along the lines of, listen, they'll sit you down, they'll tell you how wonderful you are, and then they'll say stuff like, "We really need you to set aside everything you believe." Basically, saints, that is a red flag. Now, I've never heard anybody talk about this, but I've seen this test come my way on a regular basis, as many of you can probably relate. And we're going to see this thing again. So I really thought that it was important that we talk about this through the scriptures, because Jesus said, "He that is of God heareth God's words." In other words, he holds to God's word as the final divine authority of his life. So when somebody comes along enticing you and try to seduce you, those are both Bible words, we just read it, to lay aside the final divine authority of the word of God. I'm sorry, this is God's universe. He made it. And so I'm going to hold to his authority, the authority of the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, who was and who is and who is to come, the Almighty Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:8. Never surrender, beloved, to holding to it, to being humbled before the throne of the majesty of Jesus Christ. All things come of thee and of thine own, the scripture says, have we given thee. 1 Chronicles 29:14. Also, Colossians 1, verse, well, let's start in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. So don't come back under it by compromising, by sinning, by committing spiritual adultery, by allowing someone to seduce you to lay aside your belief, your faith in Christ, because without faith it is impossible to please him. So as soon as you take that bait, and I'm sure I have in the past as a younger believer, when pastors who were really warlocks, as we look back on that, were seducing me, trying to surrender allegiance to them instead of the Lord, so that they could use me for their evil agenda. In fact, I remember the pastors in a certain town I lived in, they would fight over me, because whoever's church I was going to, I was bringing new people there every week. And they liked that. Why? Because that meant coin in the coffer. And they're all about nickels, noses, and numbers. 90% of them are absolute frauds. They are the very deceivers that we are warned about from the prophets, from Jesus, from John the Baptist, and from the apostles. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Matthew 24:11, etc. So we continue in Colossians 1, speaking of King Jesus, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. We're in the light of Christ because he is the light and we're in him, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, hallelujah, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We've been bought with a price. Even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image, this is Jesus Christ, of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, by Jesus Christ, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. That includes you and I. We were created by him and for him to be under his authority. In fact, Jesus said that those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, take them and slay them before me. So we become separated from God when we don't allow him to reign in our lives. And so if you allow yourself to be seduced and you set aside or lay aside, take yourself out from under, you agree to take yourself out from under the authority of Jesus Christ, you actually become his enemy. And now the word is not protecting you. Remember, we read in Psalm 17:4 that by the word of God's lips, we keep ourselves from the paths of the enemy and from destruction. Amen. Psalm 17:4. But notice here, Luke 19:27, but those mine enemies, who are Jesus's enemies? Notice he defines them right here. Which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. There's a clear picture of everyone who is not presently under the reign of Jesus Christ. They're not under his rule. He is not the Lord, the master of their life. They have not submitted themselves to him, and or some have, and then they backslid. They allowed themselves, and that's why we have the warnings in Scripture, to be seduced out from under his headship. What happens to a sheep that's being guided by a good shepherd out in the pasture, who takes himself out from under the authority, the word of that good shepherd who is guiding those sheep? And let's say he's got 10 sheep and he's guiding them, and one decides that he's going to remove himself from under the authority of that shepherd, that human shepherd, and he gets outside of the pack of sheep and he goes and strays and gets eaten by a wolf. That's the picture Scripture gives us when we allow ourselves to be seduced out from under the authority of God. One more time, Luke chapter 19 verse 27, but those mine enemies, we become his enemies when? Which would not that I should reign over them. In other words, when we're not abiding in vital union with Jesus Christ, John 15, and that's always going to come with fruit, more fruit and much fruit, he says there, beginning in verse 1 of John 15, then what's going to happen is we're going to be those who become the enemies of the Lord, because we're not allowing him any longer to reign over us, and we're going to be slain before him. We're going to hear, depart from me, you curse, into everlasting fire, if we die in such a state of separation out from under the lordship of Jesus Christ as first love of our lives. 2 Peter chapter 2 is a chapter, one of the many chapters, whole chapters in the Bible, that speaks about false prophets and false teachers. The very first verse in the chapter introduces such in those very words, actually the first three verses. Yeah, the first verse. But there were false prophets also among the people, not outside, but right in the midst of the people, right in your circle of influence and people that you're interacting with in your life, people that are posing as your friend and pretending to have your best interest in mind, etc. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be, not maybe, but absolutely definitively, shall be false teachers among you, who privily or secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, heresies that damn the soul, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So right in our midst, we have people that are turning on the Lord. They're falling away. because they don't continue in the light. They don't continue and endure to the end, worshiping Jesus Christ and not allowing themselves to reign over their own lives. And that's when Satan gets in, because Satan comes in on the heels, if you will, of sin. That's the only way he can reign in somebody's life. And the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So that's how you get the devil out. And conversely, how you let him in. If you're not submitted to God, which begins with repentance, Satan has and will retain control over your life until you submit yourself to God in repentance. And then this brings swift destruction, it says here. And many shall follow their pernicious or damnable ways. They're going to be damned. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Satan's silver tonguers out there, they know how to take scripture and just twist it and use it very subtly and insidiously for their own self-serving purposes. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So all false teachers and all false prophets are going to be damned. We see it right here. And notice the self-agenda, the agenda that they seek to seduce you to come up under for their self-serving purposes. Notice, and through covetousness, through their own greed and covetousness, shall they with feigned words, they twist the word of God, they misuse it, make merchandise of you. They're going to use you for their agenda, and they're going to try to take you off that narrow path that leads to eternal life. Matthew 7:13-14, where Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for broad is the gate, right? Wide is the gate. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Now that seems like that speaks to what we're talking about. There are so many ways and people that are trying to get you to walk down the broad way, and it's going to lead to eternal destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few are going to stay on the narrow path that leads to eternal life. And that would mean to hold to the word of God. Later in that chapter, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Again, one of our main verses, Psalm 17:4, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, the word of God, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer, or paramount to, I have stayed by your word, Lord, by holding to it as final divine authority on the narrow path that leads to everlasting life. Okay, and notice in the beginning of Psalm 17:4, the psalmist speaks of concerning the works of men, obviously inferring or referring to the evil men that abound in the life of the believer. All we have to do is look at the life of Paul the apostle and just see how many people tried to do him in and deceive him and do every evil under the sun to the apostle Paul. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapters 1-4, we see Paul name 8 different men by name who were deceivers and who he had conflict with. And it's only by holding to the word of God, such as was the case with the psalmist and the apostle Paul, that they both escaped the snares of the enemy through ungodly men, many of them posing as believers, disciples of Christ. We are warned in 1 John 4:1 to beware of these false prophets that we are talking about today, those who pose as believers, but the fruit of their life completely contradicts that profession. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not, this is a command, every spirit, but try or test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many, not a few, but many false prophets are gone out into the world. That's 1 John 4:1. Furthermore, the Bible warns us twice in the New Testament about false brethren. You can look it up, false brethren. There are those in our midst who feast among us, book of Jude, book of 2 Peter, and yet they are ungodly men having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sinning. They are given over to the carnal lust. They are not saved. They are not crucified with Christ. In fact, the Bible says their God is their belly, and they mind earthly things, and their end is going to be eternal destruction. That's the end of Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. And these are the very enemies of the cross of Christ Paul was warning us about. Again, that's Philippians 3, verses 18 and 19. Furthermore, 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So there are many unreasonable and wicked men. And Paul is speaking about praying that we be delivered from such unreasonable and wicked men. How about Titus 1:10? For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, those who pretend to be Jews and keep Torah and are antichrist because they do not accept Christ's perfect sacrifice on the cross, which took the law out of our way. He nailed it to the cross, the Colossians 2, verses 14 through 19. Also, Romans 10:4 says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And 1 Timothy 1 says, those that are of God and born again are not under the law. The righteous men are not under the law, only the lost. There's only two kingdoms in this world, those that are under the law and those that are under grace, those that are in the light, those that are in darkness, those that are in Christ, those that are in Satan. Okay, so concerning these type of people that we meet and we run into from time to time, these type of people I'm talking about, some of you have encountered them. They don't make any friends in their lives because they have no interest in being a good friend. They only have the agenda and the goal of using other people for their own self-serving purposes. And so what they try to do is use their position or their money or their influence or supposed influence, as in they talk a big game. They want to use these things to seduce people to come up under their headship, their control, spoken or unspoken, in order to bring them into bondage and basically slavery to them, to meet their conditions, to accomplish their self-serving agenda. These type people have no use for anyone that they cannot use, or you could say that if they can't use you, they have no use for you. Have you ever met people like this? So they only quote unquote love you or act like they love you while you're doing what they want you to do so that they are prospering from it. In contrast, now, Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. A real friend loves you whether you're doing something for them or not. They love you because of who you are, the creation of God, and they value you as a friend, as opposed to those who would simply seek to use you for their own purposes. Beware of these false brethren, saints. Though they pretend to care about you, they don't care at all about you. The only desire they have is to use you for their own greedy purposes. Like their father the devil, the only end game that they have is what? Stealing, killing, and destroying. That's what Jesus told us in John 10 verse 10, that Satan the liar, the thief, cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's how you know who the agents of Satan are. They have no good agenda about them. In contrast, Jesus said, I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. That's John 10:10. And then a few chapters later, in chapter 15, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that was ultimately fulfilled in his sacrifice on the cross for the sins of the world, for your sins, for my sins, to reconcile us back to himself and the Father. Jesus is the best friend that any of us could have, and his people are second added to that. 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no man seek his own, but every man another man's wealth. As we quoted earlier, let me say it again. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. Amen. What a blessing good friends are. How about Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He loves you no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've done. He's there to help you with the help of the love of God and the truth of God. And so our main chapter here, the verses we're grabbing here, are right here in this same chapter, 2 Peter 2:19. While they promise them liberty, that is the seducers, the deceivers, the false of Christians around us, false prophets, etc. While they promise them liberty, man, I'm going to help you to just be so blessed. They flower with good words and fair speeches. They deceive the hearts of the simple. As Paul wrote, Romans 16, verse 17 and 18, these people are to be marked. So while they promise them liberty, by the way, let me stop right here. Your blessing, beloved, in Christ is from God. It's not from man. So whatever they're promising you is bait. It's a deception. God doesn't need them in your life to bless you. Never did, never will. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, that is, by the seducers, of the same is he brought in bondage. Now notice verse, I think we can find this throughout this chapter, because he gives several different examples of deceivers throughout history, biblical history. And notice he's talking about those that are unstable souls. They have eyes full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin. They're beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. They're out for their own self-serving good and not God's. They have their God as their belly, not Christ. Notice Philippians 3, verse 18 and 19. Paul told on them, the Holy Ghost did through him, in great detail. He says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, eternal damnation, whose God is their belly. Notice that. Their God is their own carnal appetites. That's why we keep seeing the warning about those who exercise with covetous practices. And the Bible says, a covetous man who is an idolater hath no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. There in Ephesians 5, about verse 5 through 9. So beware of covetousness. One of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not covet. Those who are coveting are not content. They're not Christ-like. They're never satisfied. They're insatiably greedy for more of this world's goods and to gain more and more power over their prey. So notice their God is their belly, Philippians 3:19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. In other words, they should be ashamed of what they're glorying and reveling in, who mind earthly things. They're set on kingdoms of this world and having their slice of pie, if you will, their slice of control in their little domain that they're creating in their little cult-like group. For our conversation, he continues, our way of life is in heaven. Amen. We're anchored in heaven. Our faith reaches into heaven, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is the captain of our salvation. Christ is central command for his kingdom, and it's going to be the only kingdom left standing when all else, all rebels, are vanquished into eternal damnation. Daniel 2:44, etc. For our conversation is in heaven, not on earth, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, our mortal body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's what awaits, the reward that awaits eternally for those who love the Lord truly and endure to the end, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So 2 Peter 2:15. I want you to read this chapter because there's so much to it. But he says here, he gives an example in biblical history to remind us of what he's talking about. which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. Notice, they forsook the right way, which means they were in the right way, which this whole chapter establishes. They have gone astray. Jesus said they will be those who believe for a time of temptation fall away. Notice, Jesus said they believed. And then he said they fell away, if that wasn't clear enough. They were saved, and then they fell away. God doesn't force anybody to continue to serve him and endure to the end. Why would he give such a commandment if it was automatic? It always tells you who somebody is when they say, well, if you were really saved, you could never fall away. Such a person is a liar. They are a heretic. They call Jesus Christ a liar. Because in Luke 8:13, Jesus said, there are those who do believe, and then after that, somewhere along the line, they fall away. And that's what you got here with these false prophets and false teachers that are being exposed in detail by the Holy Spirit in 2 Peter chapter 2. They have what? Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. They're off the path they were on, the narrow way that leads to life, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now, again, the lure of earthly riches, because some refuse to stay in accordance with and in fellowship with Jesus, they begin to lust after the things of this world. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, beginning in verse 9, but they that will be rich, not only those that are just rich and made it, if you will, in this world, but those that desire to be rich, those that will, but they that will be rich, if that's what they're willing themselves to be and coveting riches in this world, they're going to do what? But they that will be rich fall, they're going to fall into what? Temptation and a snare, a trap, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, there it is again, they have erred from the faith. They're outside of the faith now, even though they were in it, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight. Notice we're in a fight. If you're not swinging, you're losing, beloved. I think you get the picture. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. If you don't, it's going to get away from you. Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Amen. So, 2 Peter 2:15, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of who? Balaam, the son of Bosar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, his sin. And what was his sin? Covetousness, greedy. He already mentioned them here. Greed for the things of this world. But was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. So notice here, one writer concerning this passage notes the following. So before we get into talking a little bit about the example Peter gives here in 2 Peter 2 concerning Balaam, remember that false teachers are greedy both in sexual sins and financial gain. They have chosen the ministry as a lucrative profession. One writer notes, he says, their great aim is to build up a large following and thus to increase their income. They exploit people with false words, he says. Another one, quote from somebody who commented on this passage. He says, the devil is never more satanic than when he carries a Bible, unquote. So these men with Bible in hand pose as ministers of righteousness, and they give out well-known evangelical hymns and use scriptural expressions, but all of this is camouflage for heretical teachings and corrupted words, and to bring people, I might add, under their control unduly, because Jesus is the one who is to have ultimate control in the lives of his people. John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And anyone, saints, who tries to intercept that place of headship in your life is 100% of the time operating under the power of a deceiving spirit, otherwise known as the devil himself. So the false prophets here that we're being warned about in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 says, they have eyes, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. And heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. Notice they forsook the right way and they have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now he's saying these false prophets and false teachers of today are like Balaam, who was guilty of the greatest of sins, leading others to sin, and that for the sake of his own gain. Balaam had to be restrained by a dumb donkey because he would not listen to God. Now, you can read about Balaam beginning in Numbers chapter 22. You can read through verse 25. You'll remember that the dealings of Balaam led the children of Israel into apostasy, culminating in chapter 25 of Numbers, where a hero, a blessed brother in Christ named Phinehas, was rewarded by God for driving a stake through the fornication that was happening among the people of God. That would be, again, Numbers 22 through 25. So in the case of Balaam, he forsook the right way, and although God showed him the right way, he took one contrary to it, preferring the reward offered him by Balak to the approbation or the loss of the blessing of God. The way of Balaam is also known as the counsel of Balaam. He counseled the Moabites to give their most beautiful young women to the Israelitish youth so that they might be enticed to commit idolatry. And again, Numbers 22 through 25, false prophets lead others by not preaching the whole truth, if nothing else, to live a life of fornication and greed. They don't ever teach that such will damn the soul. There are so many lists in the New Testament in particular of soul-damning sins: fornication, adultery, covetousness, greed. These are some of the sins that are being pointed out here and that were involved with the sin of Balaam and misleading the people of God. And they're addressed specifically and repeatedly in the Word of God. The Bible says that we are to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's 2 Corinthians 7:1. That's just one of many verses of that type. And any man who pretends to be representing Christ and who isn't preaching that we must make ourselves ready for the great bridegroom, Revelation 19:7-10, and purify ourselves from all sin in light of the return of Jesus, 1 John 3:3, is a false prophet. Jesus is coming back for a church of people that are without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, without the blemish of sin. They don't remain in sin. They don't continue in their lives without confessing, repenting, returning to the Lord in repentance and confession of their sins. Such a man who is not preaching these things is a false teacher without exception. That would be 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Another mention of Balaam would be Jude chapter 1. Actually, it's only one chapter. Verse 11, notice, woe unto them, for that's those that have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, those who once served God and then departed from him, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Cain did things his own way, not God's way, right? Genesis 4, and ran greedily, notice the word greedily, after the error of Balaam for reward. They wanted their reward now, like Esau, who sold his birthright or his eternal soul for a bowl of soup and perished, it says, in the gainsaying of Korah. You can read about the false prophet, the rebel Korah, K-O-R-A-H, in Numbers chapter 16. So let's just finish 2 Peter chapter to the end of it. Notice verse 14, as we read earlier, these false prophets have eyes full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin. They're beguiling unstable souls. There it is. They're misleading unstable souls. Isaiah 9:16 said it's the leaders of this people that cause them to err. That means go into error. And they that are led of them are destroyed. It's the blind leading the blind into the ditch of eternal destruction. In heart, they have exercised with covetous practices, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure, or seduce, right? Deceive, mislead through the lust of the flesh. There it is. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them that live in error. While they promise them liberty, these false prophets, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Of man is overcome, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. That's why we have to walk strong in the Spirit and the Word. Those go together. You can't separate either from the other, so that we are not deceived and overcome by Satan's agents in this life, which will be sent to each one of us all the way till we're with Jesus, and we'll be brought under bondage if we do, and brought outside of the reign, the umbrella, the wings of the Lord. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That requires that we seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11, Psalm 91:1. It continues, verse 20, 2 Peter 2, our main text. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So they were clearly saved. They departed from the Lord, and they are entangled therein and overcome. It looks like it's stages of apostasy here. You get entangled, enticed and entangled in sin, and then you're overcome by it. And James 1:13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted of evil or with evil, right? But every man is tempted when he is drawn away, what? Of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James 1:13-15. The last two verses, 2 Peter 2, for it had been better for them, those that backslid, not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turn to his own vomit again, and the sow or the pig that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So as we close, let's just talk about some things concerning those that would seduce you, as we read in, I believe it was 1 John 2:26, Colossians 2:4, enticement, allurement. They try to allure through the lust of the flesh. That's why we have to have the cross, the crucified life. We have those that are flattering us. We read about in Proverbs 29:5, those that flatter you spread a net to catch you, to snare you like prey, like you hunt an animal. Psalm 55:21 says, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. Wow. So the war that was in his heart, and we're going to find that, and already have, many of us, that we're going to hear words of flattery, smoother than butter, and yet we're discerning something different in the Spirit. One of the gifts of the Spirit is the discerning of spirits. And as we're led by the Spirit, we're going to be led through the Word of God, and God's going to speak to us through His Word each step of the way in our lives. And notice, again, that's Psalm 55:21. That's one you'll want to get to know. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. Also, Psalm chapter 141, I believe it's verse 3. The psalmist prayed, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. So also, we have to beware of the demonic overlords, people that try to control you and your life decisions. There are many in ministry that are this way. They seek to seduce you to come up under their illegitimate authority, as Satan did when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness with the riches of this life, etc. Jesus overcame because Jesus was submitted to his Father. And remember, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that we are ambassadors for Christ. He is the captain of the host. He's the Most High. He's the captain of our salvation, Hebrews 2:10. We're under his command. We're on mission for God, and we're not to be derailed. And that in part comes from identifying with Christ, yet evermore in an intimate way. Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save or except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. So also beware that any of these type relationships that people try to draw you into, it's kind of not as easy to define, although I'm believing that this is important for us to talk about, because many of you know exactly what I'm talking about, how they try to get you under their control. They try to seduce you to take their bait. And so we have to be always on guard concerning this, to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We're to watch and pray, lest we enter into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, they promise you liberty and all kinds of supposedly good things, but if you're seduced by them, you're going to be brought in bondage to them. And that's not the control or the oversight, the lordship that we want to be under. We want to be under the command of the King of Kings. Again, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. So if you take the bait and you come out from under the headship of Christ, you're going to be brought into bondage. Again, you're already in sin right there by denying Christ the reign of your life, and you become an enemy of God, Luke 19:27, as we read earlier. So we're to pray fervently, saints, for discernment. And one of the great prayers of the Bible should be for each one of us that the Lord would guide each step. Amen. Psalm 37:23, the steps, notice, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. What a blessing. I've had situations in the recent past. One guy wanted me to go to work for him. He claims to be a Christian. He's not. He was willing to pull me off of the post God put me on. 100%. The Lord was not drawing me to go back in. He claims that I'm really the best salesperson he's ever met. We've known each other for 3 decades, and his whole MO is greed, and so he tries to get people to work for him to make himself richer in this fleeting world. That's all the riches he has, because he's not saved. And so he reacted and got super mad. Anybody that knows these type of situations knows that Jezebel, that evil spirit, whatever you want to call it, the demons that control them are super enraged. They're infuriated when they don't catch their prey. They get really upset when you don't do what they want you to do. They could care less about God's will for your life because they're under the power of Satan, who is trying to draw you outside of the will of God. Anybody that's of God is wind underneath your wings, is praying for you and helping you fulfill the will of God. That's how we know true believers. So they become absolutely furious when they fail to bring you through their witchcraft under their control. Remember, the Galatians received the lie that they needed to start incorporating parts of law keeping in order to walk with Christ. And Paul said, "O foolish Galatians," he calls them fools, "who hath bewitched you?" That means who put a demonic spell of witchcraft on you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently or clearly set forth crucified among you. In other words, they took the bait, and they came up under a spirit of witchcraft, and in chapter 5, verse 4, they fell from grace. They were no longer saved. You can't be saved outside of the grace of God. So they had begun in the spirit, but now they sought to be made perfect in the flesh. That's a biblical example of what we're talking about in this message. Another man wanted me to become a part of his entourage of business and other things that he's got working, and he couldn't overcome me because I wasn't going to be moved off of the identity of Jesus Christ and the mission he has sent me to accomplish, which he has for each of his people. And so this guy got completely infuriated. And so I had been praying for the Lord to open or close the door in that relationship. And sure enough, this guy got so frustrated, he openly just rejected me and told me to go away. Well, that's a victory, amen? Because he was trying to draw me away from what God has called me to, as he has called each of us to serve him in a certain capacity in his kingdom, accomplishing his great commission for which he sent us. And it should confirm that we're in the will of God when Satan is fighting so hard to get us out of the will of God by using his servants to seduce us and to deceive us and mislead us off the path, the narrow path that leads to life and doing the will of God. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Each of us has a course. I have kept the faith, and therefore there is laid up a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. In fact, let me read that verse 8 again. After Paul said that he had fought a good fight, are you fighting the good fight of faith, friend? He had finished his course. I have finished my course. Are you finishing your course? Are you on course? I have kept the faith. That means you can relinquish the faith. You can stop believing. You can believe for a while and then in time of temptation fall away. I have kept the faith. Verse 8, 2 Timothy 4, henceforth, or from now on, or looking forward, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now let's pray together, given these scriptures and this message from the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would keep us from the evil one, O God. Guide our steps, each step, Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted. You delight in that, O God. We ask you to keep us on track, Lord. Quicken us. Make our consciences completely and very extremely sensitive, with red flags flying whenever there's danger, God, of being misled away from thee, O God. For we serve you, Lord. We are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ that lives in us. And the life which we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We also declare with Paul that you are our identity. God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto us, and we unto the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.